Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hola, Creeperitos. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Georgia.
And you're listening to
Paranormal Chicks.
So creep it real.
Don't get scared.
Hey, y'all. I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 311.
And y'all, we had an intro.
We had an intro in a while.
I know. I mean, okay. So technically, she did send it last time, but I have a system, and Carrie was being very nice, and she was checking emails and getting the inbox done, but she doesn't know my system of leaving them undone so I can send it to Kaden when we have an intro and we can do it. And so we forgot to have it. And then this bitch was like, oh, Kaden, there was supposed to be an intro, so we didn't talk about it.
I didn't say that. He remembered.
Oh.
I didn't say that.
But you're like, oh, something. I was like, oh, we didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, I said, oh, it's no big deal. It can be next time.
She did not.
You want me to pull up the text thread?
But so, sorry, Rebecca, if you're like, I sent that in. When we make mistakes, we make several of them.
So, thank you, Rebecca and Georgia.
So freaking cute. Like, you know what? I might not want a kid, but I sure love, like, kids doing messages and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to do an intro just like Rebecca, head on over to patreon.com/theAPC podcast. Okay, here we go. This is story number 2 from the email about special dream hugs from Tara. To give you some insight into my personality, I'm one of those people who likes to get lost and then find my way out of something. I have very vivid dreams, and many of them I call repeaters. Though the characters may be different, the locations and the landscape is familiar and from previous dreams I've had. Sometimes feels labyrinth-like in the way they keep going or changing. With that being said, though, I want to be open to spiritual connections and have some kind of psychic witchiness. I, alas, do not think I possess such powers. I do like to talk to my dead ancestors, my family members, and friends who have passed away, mostly in my head when I'm driving or there's a life-changing thing happening. So I'm 34 years old and have attended over 30 funerals in my lifetime, some family, some friends. One family member, my cousin who was like an older sister to me, passed away almost 6 years ago at the age of 31 from what they call a speedball overdose. I was just listening to your Party Monster story and you were discussing how people do certain drugs to self-medicate by going up and knowing when to come down and when to take something else. Well, you can say that my cousin may have had this down for some time. Over a period of about 5 or so years, she had taken pills, mostly downers to cope with pain, smoked weed as needed, and then met a very charming but sadistic guy who got her into harder things. After lengthy time trying to battle her demons, metaphorically, she decided to give in to the life of addiction over family and support. I think it was hard for her to pretend anymore. We all knew she was getting better, but didn't know how much better. She started to distance herself from us, from me, and I went through a time where I blamed myself for the distance because I had been going through my own life changes, moving in with my boyfriend, now husband, and all of the stuff that people in love go through. I didn't see her pain clearly. I wasn't talking to her as often, and it felt it was different. I knew she struggled on and off, and by no means was she ever really sober. She was not much of a drinker, but let's just say she was a convincing, functioning addict. She was always on this circle of, if I get this job, I will be able to get a new car so I can get a new job, then I will be happy, but I need to make money to pay for this thing I want, and I can't pay for those things if I don't get this job, and over again it would start. We came to find out later that she fixated with her current boyfriend on keeping their addiction alive to continue to feel loved. Her boyfriend wanted to get clean. She did one day, and then the next, she would talk herself out of it. She apparently thought if he was clean, there would not be anything keeping her with him. Not sure how true that is, but she decided to move to the worst part of town, unbeknownst to anyone, to start a new life where she cut herself off from everyone. I want you to know this happened very quickly, a matter of like 3.5 months. That year in May, we saw her on Mother's Day weekend. Her mother is a single mother, and with her as the only child. They lived at my grandmother's, and she lived there and then went back and forth with her boyfriend at the time. It was late May. She came to my grandmother's to pick up some of her things with an unruly-looking guy who did not talk and stayed in his car waiting for her. About a month and a half later, we found out her boyfriend broke up with her and she was not able to get in touch with. Last we knew, she was living with a guy who sublet a room to her in the city. It was found out that she was sleeping with people for drugs. There was a progression in all of this. She started laying the bricks for the path she was going to take months before May. We family members didn't know how extreme it was. Mid-August, my aunt talked about a private detective to figure out how to get her away from this lifestyle. He found a petty theft charge warrant out for her. He said, "I can call it in since we kind of know where she is, and if they pick her up, be ready to drop everything, get to the police station before the pimps try to make bail." The issue was that my cousin was suffering from some type of bipolar borderline personality issue and was never fully diagnosed or able to treat it fully because, along with not having a job, she couldn't afford medical insurance to get the help she needed. She tried some rehab, but it only lasted limited amounts of time. I believe they were not treating the real issues, hence the circle kept growing stronger and bigger and more overwhelming for her to handle. She would fall into habits to self-medicate. Because she didn't have a true diagnosis of possibly being a threat to society or otherwise needing medication, such as someone diagnosed and labeled schizophrenic and goes off their meds, there was no reason to look for her or place her in holding. Her birthday is in the beginning of September. Her uncle, from her dad's side, found her on the street one day just walking and asked her to hop in the car. He is passing through working on some construction project. He wished her happy birthday. Did not know why she was down there, but knew it wasn't good. He asked if she was okay and told her he would take her home. She was in his car. They stopped at a light. She apparently started telling, "I'm not doing what the other girls do down here. I'm fine. See, check me. I don't have any needle marks, do I?" And demanded he unlock the doors and she got out. That was the last time anyone saw her. 3 weeks later, she was found in an abandoned house, dead with just her underwear on, no bra, and an empty purse laying on a mattress discarded. Apparently, pimps use these abandoned houses to have Johns come to sleep or party with the girls. She took a speedball, and the pimp, or the other girls possibly involved, cleaned her out, including taking her clothes. She was identified by the tattoo on her abdomen. My aunt was sent a bag with her belongings, an empty purse with one stick of gum in it, and a pair of underwear. Not too long after her death, it was pretty brutal and still can be around the holidays or happy happenings in the family. I had this dream and it was unlike any other before. New place, new plot, new characters, and I have not had one like it since. Now, my cousin was a hairdresser stylist. She specialized in color and damn, she could make even my fine hair look big and thick. She tried all the crazy colors and anything left over she would normally use on my hair. She had the kind of flawless sense of style about her. I looked up to her and her beauty. At one point, she did some modeling, but was found to not be quite tall enough to get lots of work. So in the dream, my boyfriend and I were meeting friends to see this Cirque du Soleil type show, but it was a little different. It started with a movie. It was in an old, grungier theater, and everything was painted flat black. But, you know, that look of worn plaster walls kind of had that in different areas of the theater. I told my boyfriend right before the show I needed to go to the bathroom. I walked to the bathroom and was washing my hands, skipped over the peeing part, I guess, was looking in the mirror, and the handicapped stall door flew open, and it was her, my cousin, standing there, and she looked fucking amazing. She had this curly, long, dark hair and green eyes, porcelain skin, so when she wore dark colors, everything popped. She had on this leather, black, dark jacket and the coolest boots. And then I turned around and just started telling her about how I didn't know she was coming to this show, and I'm so happy to see her, and it's been too long. I don't remember her saying much except that she was excited to be there and can't wait to see what happens. She said something about how she missed me too and asked if I could hug her. Gals, let me say, I have seen other family members or friends in dreams, but before, none of them were like this. She hugged me back. I could smell her. I could feel her hair against my face, like all too real. I kept crying, but in wiping my tears away in the dream, stated how good she looked, and I was excited to see her again, and the show was starting, and I needed to go. I was sobbing, though in my dream, it felt like I was just leaving the bathroom. I told her I would meet up with her in a little bit. My body knew it wasn't true. My boyfriend woke up to me sobbing and crying so hard in my sleep that he had to hold me after I woke up. I could still feel her, smell her. There was an electricity running throughout my entire body. So I haven't seen her again in my dreams. I think this was her official goodbye to me. I still miss her. I will always miss her, like so many others. Drugs have taken so many amazing people from my family and friends like me who all care too deeply. I know my story is not the only one out there, but if you are suffering from addiction and trying to self-medicate, please know this. There is someone out there that loves you beyond any and all of your faults or complexities. You're stronger than you know. Admitting your weakness does not make you weak. Life is ever-changing and can be fulfilling. Don't give up. The never-ending circle can be broken with the help and the right diagnosis and treatment. Making bad decisions doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you human. And those of us who have people in our lives that make decisions that we do not always see the separation in the two, let's try to be more mindful of that before totally writing someone off. I mean, I know it's easy to say people are toxic, and there is shame on us for not realizing sooner. And in this podcast, you ladies talk about the worst of the worst, but remember, there's good out there too. There's a difference between someone bringing you down and someone needing help. If it's out of your control, find help for them. Make suggestions. If you're struggling with mental health issues, please get tested and treated if possible. I know our health system fucking sucks and is mostly in it for the capitalism, but the majority of doctors do care and don't want to see someone suffer if they can help. Tara Rose. Wow, I'm so sorry for, well, all of your losses. 30 funerals is a lot.
A lot.
Your cousin, poor thing, she went through it. She tried. God, that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And then just, I don't know, I don't want to, like, harp on any of it, the sadness, but I just, like, being left alone, I don't know, it just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you got to see her and say goodbye in your dream. It's just interesting how it felt so different for you.
Yeah. Apparently, that's all I can say.
I literally almost said that, but I do that when you have read a story and you start talking about it. I'll just be like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, because it is, it's such a hard story. But like you said, I think sharing this, it's helping someone out there.
Oh, yeah. So many people have stories just like this about family members or friends or themselves that are going through stuff that... self-medicating, it's just what people do. I mean, even if it's a socially unacceptable one, like drugs, or a socially acceptable one, like alcohol or fucking food, you know?
Right.
We all do it to some extreme, you know?
Yeah. And when you were talking about her kind of sabotaging the soberness, thinking mm-hmm. that, like, that's the tether to her boyfriend, I just thought about, like, we all do that in a way of mm-hmm. like, it might be bad for us, but we're just like, but who am I without it? Who, like, will they still need me
Even just like our weight, you know, when it's like before, you know, it's like, oh, I'm single because I'm overweight. But it's like, okay, well, if I lost the weight and I'm still single, then it's me, you know, and you don't want to admit that or whatever, yeah. You know, it's like, so it's like, is it a socially acceptable, you know, coping mechanism, which is even still not, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and just think about like the people on 600 Pound Life, they're caregivers, like they're, mm-hmm. and like their partner usually, they kind of sabotage them.
Yeah.
Because they're like, but if they don't need me to wipe their ass, need me to do all of this,
will they leave me?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Before we get into the next story, we have to talk about Hungry Root. Because, y'all, can I just be on the real for a second? I hate grocery shopping. I hate planning a meal. I hate all the things attached to deciding what I'm going to eat that week, making my list, checking it twice, going to the grocery store. I'm so tired of all of the food around here before, like, for takeout. I'm so tired of our restaurants. I'm so tired of it.
Girl, me too. I will open my fridge and you know what? There's plenty of leftovers from restaurants that I'm like, oh, I'll eat that for lunch the next day. I don't. And then I don't want that. So what do? I end up going to get fast food.
Mm-hmm. But Hungry Root is basically like having your own personal shopper and nutritionist. You tell them what you like, your health goals, dietary stuff, like if you're gluten-free, dairy-free or high protein, whatever, and boom, they stock your cart with groceries and recipes that make sense for your life, and you don't have to do the thinking, because that is the part I hate the most.
Yes, but you want to know the part that I love the most? The snacks at Hungry Root. I got this little kid's snack pack. You know, don't judge me, because I love those. And now that's what I want in every box. Like, I make sure I have quantity 2-3 of those. And then, you know, they have different things like smoothies. They have salad kits and my favorite too, ready to eat meals. Cause you know, I don't want to cook.
It's seriously so easy. The recipes take like 15 minutes or less. And it's stuff that we actually want to eat.
And again, this is delivered to you. You don't have to go grocery shop. You don't have to go pick up anything. You just have to open your door and scoot the box in.
And if you don't feel like cooking at all sometimes, they have some ready to go, pop it in the microwave and call it a dinner, meals.
And the Leo in me loves the part where Hungry Root actually gets to know what you like and tailors it to what you like, what you don't like, all the things. Like, you know what? They actually listen to me more than any of my dates.
And honestly, between podcasting and work and just trying to have some kind of life, because y'all know it's baseball season, that's my time to thrive. I don't have time to plan meals and shop and do all of that. And Hungry Root makes eating healthy feel doable, like actually doable.
So if you're tired of stressing over what to cook or what to eat, and you love a good snack like I do, do yourself a favor and check Hungry Root out.
I'm surprised you didn't call yourself a snack. Y'all are going to love Hungry Root as much as we do. So right now, take advantage of this exclusive offer. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus a free item in every box for life.
Go to hungryroot.com/creep and use code creep. Again, the deal is for 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
That's hungryroot.com/creep. Use the promo code creep at checkout.
Your taste buds and stress levels will thank you. Okay, the next one. She just wanted me to know she was there. What's up, y'all? My name is Haley. And boy, oh boy, do I have a sinister sighting for you. So I bartend at a swanky little cocktail lounge in Pensacola, Florida, named The Kennedy. I close most days and we do last call at 11:45 and everyone is out of there by 12:31. The building was built in the late 1800s and was remodeled into an apartment office building in 2007, and our bar was built on the bottom corner of the building in 2019. We kept the original upstairs storage area slash office that has a split staircase with a landing that creaks like a motherfucker. That being said, it always sounds like someone is coming down behind you. I would always hear racks of bottles tinkling together when I was upstairs doing the end of day work by myself. So I've always had my hackles up when I was up there. Flash forward to about 6 p.m. on a sunny day in May of 2022 when I had just gotten to work and ran out of tonic water. I went upstairs by myself to grab a few packs of tonic water for everyone to restock. To preface what happens next, in the service industry, we have words that we use during service to let other bartenders know that we are near them. Typically, words like behind, on your back, to your right, reaching in on your left, full hands, things like that. When I began to descend down the stairs, I felt a very light hand on my back, which was odd because I knew I was up there by myself. Then I heard in my right ear, clear as fucking day, behind. Y'all, I'm not even kidding. I turned around so fast, and when I didn't see anyone there, I noped the fuck out of there. I'm not joking. I screamed, no, 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 and ran down the stairs. Everyone thought that I had just heard the stairs creak or was just imagining it. I knew we had a camera in that stairwell, so I called my GM, and he came up to the bar to show me the video, but he didn't have audio for it. I go through the rest of my shift refusing to go upstairs by myself, and then I get about 5 to 6 texts back to back from my GM when I'm wiping down my well at closing time, and I thought, I'm almost done. I'll call him back when I finish. He calls me, and with the most serious voice, he says, Haley, you can hear her in the video. I responded, I fucking told y'all I wasn't crazy. He tried to send it to me, but our video system encrypts the video for security purposes. He then used his personal phone to take a video of the video, and when I watched it with the sound on, I lost my shit. After showing a few people, a friend said, bro, watch your towel, and you can see my hand stay in the same place, and after a few steps, my towel gets snatched, and then you hear her speak. Towel snatching is a game we play when we're bored behind the bar. I realized that she was probably a spirit of an ex-service industry employee, and she just wants to be included. So started talking to her to see if she'll talk back. I can definitely feel that she's there, but I haven't heard her talk since. Anyway, that was stupid long, but I do have a consolation prize. I'm going to attach the video. It's a little blurry because it's a video of a video, but you can hear her clear as day, and then you can get a good laugh at me yelling and running. Love y'all forever, and y'all crack me up every episode. Catch you on the flip side, Haley.
Man, that towel got jerked right from behind you.
Yes.
I kind of heard something, but I wouldn't have known it was, like, behind.
Oh, now, let me just say that I wouldn't have known probably behind had you not said it, but I could definitely hear the voice. Then you're like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, I definitely heard that part, but that towel will fucking move, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to contact you and see if we could put this on the Instagram and the Facebook group and stuff. So if you're listening to this, y'all, go and check out and see if we posted it, okay?
And if you do send us a video like that, let us know if you want us to post it. I bet you were like, well, we heard you say, no, 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 no.
Also, I've never been to Pensacola, ever.
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. Nope, I lied. But me and Tiffany just went to the Red Roof Inn in Pensacola because my sister was dating this guy and she wanted us to meet him and they were at the Red Roof Inn. And I'm pretty sure they had just had sex when we came in. You know, Lori was in her, like, out of a toxic marriage into, now we know, toxic relationship, but
she was finding her. She was living her best life. Yeah. She was getting down and dirty. Uh-huh. And
so I have been to Pensacola, but literally just to the Red Roof Inn, and that was it.
Tiffany went to Pensacola. Well, my dad worked there a lot, but Tiffany went to Pensacola with me because we had to go for a day trip because I had to get my background check in Florida for my internship thing, you could say, at the Tampa Bay Crisis Center. It had to be a background check done in Florida. I was like, God damn it. I had to drive 4 hours. Well, really like 3.5 hours, one damn direction to get a fucking background check and back. So we just like went and ate.
So that's something I'm going to do this summer.
I think McGinty's, McIntyre's. It's a like an Irish pub.
McGuire's.
Damn, she never even been in, she knows.
Well, because it's at Disney too.
Oh, it was good.
Literally been to Disney once and act like I know everything, but you know.
Okay, the next one. Dated a murderer or two. Hey ladies, I hope this letter finds you both happy, healthy, and ready for spring. It's February 4th, 2025. The weather in Kansas is cold, cloudy, and miserable. I'm thinking about the time you read this, we should be close to May. No, we ain't even in April. Well, this will come out in April, but that's how close we are to running out of fucking stories. I'm currently listening to Sinister Sightings 302, but a couple of episodes before that, someone wrote in about dating a murderer. I decided to sit down and tell my tale of doing the same thing twice. Back in the 80s, I was in middle school. I met a boy named Jimmy. He had the most beautiful green eyes. He quickly became my boyfriend. Later on in high school, we hooked up a couple of times. At some point after high school, he moved to Nevada, where he got himself into an altercation at a bar. The story Jimmy told me was a guy tried to steal Jimmy's wallet. They fought, and Jimmy throat punched the guy. That punch ended up killing the guy, and Jimmy served 17 years in prison. Sorry, Donna, I have no idea whatever happened to Jimmy after he got released. I know he came to Kansas for a minute, but I never saw or spoke with him. My next story has to do with a man named Roger. Now, Roger was about 8 years older than me. His younger brother and I were in school together from kindergarten through graduation. We were always friends. That's how I knew Roger. Roger was a very attractive black man. Ever since I was young, I had a crush on him. The town we're all from is not large. The main thing to do in the summer is to go to the public pool. That's where Roger and I got to be close. As a sophomore in high school, I started dating Roger. It lasted a while. Then I caught him fucking around and I'd break up with him. He always managed to pull me back in. He was hot and older. What can I say? Anyway, his dumbass got arrested for armed robbery and he also served 17 years in prison. My life moved on in many ways during that time. Married, 3 kids, divorced. One day, a knock at the front door. There stands Roger. Rumor has it, you're single. That's about all it took. We reconnected and hung out. He made friends with my kids and loved to cook for them. Things didn't work out for us, and in hindsight, that was a real blessing in disguise. I met someone else and moved on. Now, I have to say that Roger was never someone I knew to abuse drugs. He was allergic to marijuana and was extremely against hardcore drugs for all of the time I knew him personally. Roger has a younger brother that was in prison for meth and murder. Roger really hated that, until he didn't. A girlfriend of mine, who is Roger's ex-sister-in-law, got a hold of me to tell me that Roger had been arrested for the murder of his girlfriend. What the fuck? Apparently, he and this gal had been using meth. Roger went crazy and nearly decapitated the woman in their apartment. I still to this day have a hard time believing that he did that. That's not the person I knew for years. Roger never once in all of the time got violent with me. We only argued once, really. On to a more sweet story. For 13 years, my family had a pit mix named Rocco. He was the best dog, and we all loved him so much. We rescued him, loved him, and then he saved my daughter's life, being her emotional support dog after the death of my kid's dad. As he got older, he needed to go outside more often at night. He taught himself to knock on my bedroom door by scratching on it. He would scratch 2 times, and then he would walk through the dining room to the back door and wait for me to let him out. Rocco's health got bad enough we had to make the decision to put him to rest. It was heartbreaking and gut-wrenching for sure. It was also time. However, the next night I'm sleeping and I hear Rocco scratch at the bedroom door, and then I hear his toenails on the floor in the dining room. I got up and went to the back door. I opened it and told him he was free and healthy. He didn't need me to open the door for him anymore. I told him we loved him and thanked him for the years he loved us. That really did happen, and it still makes me cry to know that he came back to say goodbye, by scratching on the door one last time. Thank you for taking the time to read my stories. I'll send in some spooky ones soon. Thanks for all the laughs, Jules.
Girl, when you said he knocked on your door and said, I heard you were single, I was like, I would have been like, I sure am.
I was thinking, that's all she wrote. She going back for sure.
Uh-huh. Like, that's a smooth damn talker.
No, I know. I would have been like, and I, oop, there goes my pants.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not right now, but, you know, pre-Colby.
Mm-hmm. And don't make me cry about Rocco.
I know.
When
sweet
you
baby.
Said the toenails, like, I just thought about your dogs, Carrie, because, like, you could hear their tippy taps.
Yes.
Birdie sounds like Scooby-Doo because she can't get any traction on the floor. It's a whole thing.
That's how Maisie is when she gets scared. She, like, runs in place, which is quite often.
I know Rocco would have hated me, though, because if he thought he was going to wake me up
with two scratches. Fuck no. If you ain't coming to nudge my goddamn hand, I ain't waking up.
Right? Like, no.
Rocco's like, bitch, my bladder.
Okay, the next one. Hi, y'all. I have some spooky stories to share with y'all. First, I want to thank y'all for telling stories that people should know and bring awareness of. I love y'all. Sometimes I talk to myself like I'm with y'all, and I make faces, too. So let's get started. I have been a very imaginative child, even now, but that's just sometimes. But as a child, I saw some things. Like seeing a Civil War soldier twice, maybe a Confederate soldier, I don't know. I live in Texas, so yeah. The first time I forgot about it till my uncle told me because my aunt, uncle, and I were talking about what happened to him that day. Paranormal. But that's a hard topic, and to keep things private, I would not be sharing that story. But anyway, I was telling them that I saw a silhouette of a soldier, and I could see that knife gun thing that was used in the Civil War. This happened at night when I was asleep. I just woke up and I felt someone staring at me, and I saw that and I said, nope, put my blanket over my head and went back to sleep. It was a school night, so yay, education. But that's when I found out that the soldier was the second soldier I saw. The first one was in my aunt's kitchen in a storage room. The doors slid, but those were broken, so it had one door closed and one completely open. I went to my aunt and uncle's room and told them that I saw a soldier going into that room, and I got scared. Maybe that's why I don't remember. That ghost traumatized me. Damn ghost. And I ran to my aunt and uncle's room and told them what I saw, and my uncle got up to check and saw no one, and it was impossible for some strange person to get inside since the front door is blocked off, and the other one is where I saw the ghost. That's at the side that my aunt and uncle's bedroom is, and they have a window to look out. And my uncle sleeps on that side, and he didn't see anyone. I was shocked by that one. I don't remember it. We joked that there may be treasure buried there, and the soldier that walked into the storage room was showing me where it was. Well, that's all I'm going to write to y'all ladies now, since typing this is as long, but I do have another creepy story that I somehow connected with my aunt who was in a car accident until she died in that accident. Or that one time that my ghost uncle almost made me drop my phone on my foot. And for those wondering, today is February 5th, 2025. Sorry for the spelling and grammar. Dyslexic girly here. Until next time, ladies, creep it real and don't get scared. Mariah L.
All I could think about was that chick song. Traveling Soldier. I don't know why. That was like, that sad ass song was like living rent free in my brain.
Also, I love that you said the knife gun thing because I knew exactly what you meant, that bayonet.
I should say a bayonet.
But like, if you would have told me like bayonet, I would have been like, is that that knife gun thing? Like, you know what I mean?
Was the Civil War in Texas?
Fuck if I know. I mean, the Alamo, what was that?
That was the Spanish American War, right?
Y'all, literally. Have no fucking clue. I have lost all the history knowledge I ever had.
You never had it.
I did.
You just learned it for a test and you.
Yeah, I.
What's
like,
it called?
Like info dumped it.
Yeah. Learned and dumped.
Yeah. You know, because I never took things seriously. And I really, like, that's one of the things I would go back and redo college and yes. Actually.
Same.
Like, even if I majored in the same thing, I would actually, like, pick a concentration And because, like, I just did history. You're supposed to pick, like, an actual period.
With a concentration in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And then you would be able to answer my questions.
Yeah. Nothing. Did nothing. Which really made my academic advisor hate me more than she already did. Because she was also the, like, chair and everything. And I'm like, okay, I'll just take this randomly. And then, you know, I had that one professor that I loved. And we made a class up because I needed 3 more credits. And I was like, you know what? Because am I conniving? Because I knew he loved Mark Twain. And we were talking about that I needed credits, but I didn't want to take another fucking class. And I was like, you know what, though? Like, you can really tell what's going on, like, from books and stuff. Like, what if you read something and you could take from that what was going on at the time that it was written and stuff? And he was like, oh. And so it was history through the eyes of Mark Twain. And we just read Mark Twain books and talked about it.
Wow. Yeah. You fucking manipulative bitch.
I loved him, though. God. Like, he was, like, the professor you would always see on, like, Saved by the Bell. Well, Saved by the Bell had some hot professors, but...
They sure did.
They did. They really ruined me. I was like, where are those hot professors at? But like, he was older. He was, like, quirky. He always wore bow ties and stuff, you know, and I just loved him.
Okay, the next one. 3 stories for sinister sightings. Dear Donna and Carrie, today is February 6, 2025. I thought of 3 more stories to submit for sinister sightings. They all take place at the 3rd house I ever lived in, which was on the outskirts of Catskill, New York. I'm listing these in chronological order. Unfortunately, that has the feel-good story at the beginning and the mindfuck story at the end. The first story occurred in November of 2005. I was pregnant with my one and only child at age 40. Now, that's a whole nother story because I was told I couldn't have kids the month before I got pregnant. A coworker of mine had died a lingering death from an aortic aneurysm. 2 coworkers and I had snuck into the hospital to try and visit her because we weren't able to get any information about her. We found her in a room with 3 other comatose patients. She was unrecognizable. I had to read the chart to make sure it was her. She had at least 60 pounds of sudden excess fluid, mostly in her abdominal area, and her face was all puffed out. Her fingers were swollen like sausages. In my heart, I knew that they had given up on her. I had worked with her maybe 3 or 4 days prior, so I had seen her recently. I believed that she may have been brain dead at this point, and they were just keeping her on fluids. We held her hands and talked to her, but there was no response at all. She died maybe 2 days later. Now, this lady, who we'll refer to as Kathy, loved cats. I decorated her grave with cat pumpkins. I used those wooden cutouts with dowels that you jam into pumpkins. I don't know what they're actually called. Do you? My own pumpkins were starting to go bad, so I was planning to retrieve the pumpkins and cat parts so that I could maybe do a yearly decoration on her grave. But then I heard my driveway alarm go off and knew I had unexpected company. It turned out to be my father-in-law showing up at lunchtime to work on our detached garage that my future ex-husband and he were building. At this point, I knew I wouldn't have enough time to make him lunch, get ready for work, get the pumpkin off the grave, and get to work on time. So I'd entirely removed any more thoughts of Kathy from my mind and went and got my father-in-law's lunch order. He wanted a grilled cheese sandwich or 2. I started to assemble the grilled cheese sandwich and turned from the counter to the kitchen island and noticed that something was in the kitchen with me. It was Kathy, and she was looking directly into my eyes. She was standing near my basement door, and my cat, Fritz, and yes, he was named after that horrible pornographic cartoon that my ex-boyfriend made me watch with him, was to her left, crouched down but looking straight up at her. We locked eyes, and it felt like it was a long time because of the other sensation, which it was probably less than 10 seconds. I blinked and she was gone, but Fritz was still staring in his crouched position at the same spot. I actually said out loud, "Kathy, say hi to Fritz." The other sensation was what I can only describe as being pure love. I know it sounds corny, but whenever I come across someone who fears death, I tell them about this encounter. I don't fear death anymore. I'm looking forward to experiencing that feeling of pure love again. It was as if 1,000 cushy, giant, soft marshmallows were pressing against me all at once. I had this sensation of being filled with love in my mind, body, and soul. I know this description sounds odd, but I really can't explain it any other way. I've never felt anything like it again. It took about 30 seconds to dissipate away. It brings me comfort to know that I will hopefully experience that again someday and that I will get to see my coworker Kathy again. Story number two. I was further along in my pregnancy, probably close to 8 months in 2006, and my belly was jutting out. My shift ended at 11 p.m. and I got home close to midnight. I had caught a second wind, so I sat down on the love seat to watch some television. Now, at this point in my pregnancy, I had no lap for Fritz the cat to lay on. So he draped his upper body on my baby bump. Suddenly, he jumped to attention and was staring at something directly behind me. I turned and looked and didn't see anything except the large sidebar piece of furniture. But Fritz was still staring and at full attention. So just for funsies, I moved my head to block his view. He immediately moved his head to the other side of mine, never wavering from whatever he was looking at. I did this a couple of times and his response was the same. At this point, I figured it was a good time to vacate that area and go to bed. Nothing further happened that night. Story number three. This story took place maybe around 2010 when my son was about 4 years old. I would give him his bath upstairs where the guest rooms were because there was a smaller tub up there. I would lay out his clothes on one of the beds before the bath so it was easier to dress him. I forgot to mention earlier that this house was a new construction. It was built on land that we cleared ourselves in the middle of 5 acres with a very long driveway. My neighbors wouldn't hear me scream. It was very rural. If Donna read that, sorry, girl. So as I was dressing my son, I noticed that he was doing the same thing that the cat had done. He was looking at something behind me. I looked and there was nothing there except the giant walk-in closet. I asked him, "What are you looking at?" He said, "I'm looking for the mean old man." I asked, "What mean old man?" He said, "The mean old man that lives in that closet." As Carrie would say, "What the actual fuck?" I thought to myself. As I mentioned, I'm alone in this house in the middle of the woods and no one would hear me if I needed help. Now I'm wondering if I've got company, like an intruder broke in. So start asking my son questions about who this man is. He doesn't know his name and only states that he's mean and old and lives in the closet. Then he says, "He's not here right now." So the house gets searched and all is well and there are no signs of any break-ins. I have 2 dogs and they would have alerted us. I wasn't able to get any more info on my son who was on the autism spectrum. So then I start to think about the paranormal. Make a guess that it could be my deceased father maybe making a visit. He was a cross between Adolf Hitler and Archie Bunker in real life, like a dictator who didn't know what he was ever talking about. So one day when my ex-husband actually got his lazy ass up off the couch and did something with his son, I made my move. I went upstairs and said out loud, "Dad, if that's you, stop scaring your grandson. You were mean in real life, but you are not allowed to scare your grandson anymore." Then I kept quiet and waited to see if anything happened. Nothing ever did. About 2 months later, I was dressing my son on the same bed and I asked, "Hey, do you ever see that mean old man that lives in the closet anymore? Are you sitting down?" I felt that everyone should take a seat at this point because the blood may drop from your brain right into your gut like it did me. My son said in a rather happy, sing-song voice, "Yes, but he's nice now." Most future baths then took place downstairs after that. The marriage was shit for years before this occurred. The divorce proceedings started within 2 years. The house was sold and I'm a townie now. I would like to say that I'm free of strange occurrences here, but I'm not. But at least my neighbors will hear me scream. More stories to follow in the future because we want a paranormal chicks to last forever. Creeping it real always, Felicity. Well, I mean, at least he listened.
Right? I mean, you put him in his place and he was like, "All right, I'll be nice."
I'm surprised he wasn't like, "You're not the boss of me."
Mm-hmm. Never been pregnant, but my dog can't sit in my lap.
I know, I just sent Donna and Tiffany a text message about my sister sitting like at the baseball game with her granddaughter in her lap, like with her legs crossed in the stadium seats. And I'm like, this bitch.
And then she had her legs like well, one, my belly would not have let my legs get that high on the back of the chair, but like she was all cute, like with her little her little skinny ankles. Meanwhile, I would have been manspreading over there. When you were talking about your friend's hands, how like they were kind of like swollen and everything, I know exactly what you're talking about because my sister's hands were like that. And I feel like your dad's hands were like that, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't even look like their hands anymore. Okay, the last one. And let me just say, is this directed at me? Spinster sinister sightings.
Wait, time out. I remember what I was going to say about the last story. When you said you were pregnant at 40 with your first and only child, I was like,
oh, God, right?
Because I, in my brain, am like, okay, like, I'm getting the hot flashes. Like, I'm going to be 40 in a couple of weeks. Like, surely I'm out of this now. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to worry. I mean, you know, my IUD is hanging on for dear life, but I'm like, surely I'm good. Like, I don't have to worry about this. And then when you said that for her, I was like,
y'all, I'm on Tinder. Hang about a thread like her fucking IUD. I'm kind of on Tinder. Now, I will say I got Facebook dating and it's, yeah. But so far, Tinder has been the best, honestly. But I am nosy as fuck, so I like to see who I'm friends with, like, in common with these people. So, anyway. But, you know, I like to date younger, my age, whatever. But, like, some of these people, you know, they're like, do you want kids? And I'm like, no, but I'm gonna be 40. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, if you're wanting kids, it's not gonna be with me. Okay, but back to being a spinster.
Yeah, sorry. Literally.
Watch it be like a mistyped thing. And I'm just like,
it's really just like sinister sightings.
Yeah. And I'm like, just seeing it. Anyway. Hi, Donna and Carrie. Thank you both for all that you do to create such a wonderful community through your podcast. I look forward to hearing your banter at the beginning of each episode. And I love to hear Donna's laugh. It's contagious. My name's Jen, and you are welcome to use it. I live in Linfield, Massachusetts, two towns over from Carrie's old stomping grounds of Salem. I also attended Salem State, and I love that Carrie was able to experience the amazing city of Salem. I've been intending to write my story for a while and decided to take advantage of a snow day to finally sit down and write to you. It's February 6th for those keeping track. So here is my haunted bedroom story. It's a little long, but hopefully worth the read. Okay, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm pretty sure that I'm just reading into this whole spinster sinister science. But okay. The story takes place 25 years ago when my former boyfriend and myself moved into a haunted apartment. We found a listing for a two-bedroom apartment in our price range in the city of Everett, Massachusetts, a small city outside of Boston. We made an appointment to see the apartment and headed over. Upon entering the apartment, we were greeted by the elderly landlord and his son. They were standing in front of a half dozen paintings of Jesus. They mentioned they were left by the previous renter and they would be removed. Okay, I thought, shouldn't be a reason of concern, right? Maybe it should have been. As we toured the apartment, we entered one of the bedrooms. The walls had been covered in wood paneling and had small plastic crucifix that was still hanging on the wall. The rest of the apartment was bright and cheery, with natural light flooding in through the windows. This wood-paneled room felt so different from the rest of the apartment. It was dark and it felt uninviting. But the apartment was a great deal, so we decided to move in. We had been in the apartment for a few weeks and had chosen the wood-paneled bedroom as our bedroom for reasons I can't recall. The plastic crucifix was still hanging on the wall, but I decided to just leave it. Up to this point, nothing unusual had happened in the apartment, except for the bedroom feeling a little off. Everything seemed fine. Until I decided to be nosy while doing laundry in the basement. As I was waiting for my laundry to finish up, I decided to poke around the basement to explore a little. In the basement was a storage room, and for some reason, opening the door and taking a peek seemed like a really good idea. As I opened the door, a rush of energy came pushing out, and it felt like I had just let something out of that space. The room was filled with someone's belongings, and what stood out to me was a grand piano. This is when things began to happen in my bedroom, which was directly above the basement storage room. I've always been into the paranormal, and during this time, I was reading a book by medium James Van Praagh. He suggested when a spirit reaches out, you should acknowledge it. So as I folded my laundry on my bed, I heard a small music box that was stored in a plastic container under my bed begin to play. Just one note, but when I said hello and asked the spirit if it liked the music, it played again. I actually thought it was pretty cool and not too scary, but that was just the start. Time went by and I started to notice an overwhelming sense that I was being watched every time I was in that bedroom. My ex-boyfriend and I never talked about how the bedroom felt off, but many nights we would take sleeping bags into the living room and sleep in there. But we never spoke of why we did that. Time goes on and nothing more happens. Then one day I found the plastic Jesus had broken off from the crucifix and had fallen onto the floor. Only his hands remained on the cross. I put Jesus back up on the cross and thought, this cannot be a good sign. It definitely was not. One morning, back in the bedroom, I was awoken from sleep to a feeling of a hand brushing my cheek. I laid there with my eyes closed, trying to make sense of what I was feeling. The hand felt small and distinctly that of an elderly person. It felt like the hand of a grandmother gently stroking a grandchild's cheek as they slept. I opened my eyes and no one was there, and my boyfriend was asleep, facing away from me. I began to dread coming home to that apartment and would avoid spending any time alone in that bedroom. There always seemed to be someone watching me, and finally it showed itself to me. One day after work, I entered the apartment and walked by the bedroom. It was dark, but darker than the dark of the room, I saw a small shadow figure standing in the doorway. Completely black, devoid of any light, about 4 feet tall, standing there looking at me. I stepped away and then stepped back to get a second look, and it was gone. That was the last night I spent in that room. I moved my bedroom to the spare bedroom and then shortly left the apartment and my boyfriend and moved back to my parents' home. As uncomfortable as that experience was, that haunted apartment helped me get myself on the right track, which led me to meeting my husband and having 2 great kids. Thank you for reading my story. I hope it wasn't too long. I have a few more stories that I would love to share soon. Thanks again for creating a space to share our haunted tales, Jen. Okay, so now I'm perplexed because was it a mistype or me misreading it? Or was it because it was an old lady ghost and she was by herself and so she was a spinster? Or is Jen saying, hey, Donna, this could be you not knowing boundaries and you're old and alone?
I think it was just a mistype. I don't think Jen would be like, you're a spinster.
I mean, but I am. Can we all manifest a boyfriend for me?
I really think it was probably an autocorrect.
But still, can I look? Yes. Do I know that we have other problems to face and right now?
I think that you need to be more specific on. Yes, we could find you a boyfriend. You need to be more specific in your manifestation.
Okay. Can we all collectively manifest
a boyfriend that
a boyfriend who is kind?
Okay.
Tall.
Okay.
Well, taller than me. So that is.
I'm like, stay out of the tall pond.
You know what? You know, I do like a tall guy. Anyway.
Yeah, but you're 5'3". So, okay, continue.
Oh, you're saying I'm 5'3"?
I don't really know how tall
you are. I'm 5'2".
Oh, okay. You're shrinking.
I swear, though, I was 5'3 and a quarter. But we learned from the doctor, because I did ask the doctor, is there anything ailing you? Yeah, can you tell me how tall I am? Because I have a bet with someone that I'm 5'3 and a quarter. And I was not. But anyway, okay. So, a boyfriend who's nice, who's available.
In what way?
Emotionally and unattached.
Okay.
Like, unattached in the way of, you know.
A girlfriend.
A girlfriend, a wife, all the things. So, Someone who chooses me, someone who will rub my feet.
Okay.
Who's nice, who has a job.
Okay.
And preferably really pretty eyes.
She's not particular at all.
Well, good thing that I love most eyes. I'm like, oh my God, they're so deep brown. It's like, they're just like yours. No, yours are beautiful. I've never seen eyes like that before.
You're so bizarre.
I don't know. Y'all, can we just help a girl out?
Okay, everybody right now.
With our powers combined.
Close your eyes.
Even I could find a boyfriend.
Don't close your eyes if you're driving. But if you're not doing anything dangerous, okay, close your eyes.
Okay, eyes are closed.
Okay. And think, I hope Donna finds a boyfriend.
Oh, I'm thinking it.
I hope Donna finds a boyfriend. And I hope that they're the 17 things that she just mentioned. I hope Donna finds a boyfriend.
They're kind. They're smart. And they treat me like I'm important.
That is good. I like that list.
Okay.
I like that list a lot better.
Also taller than me.
That's not hard to do, Donna.
And if they happen to have a hand tattoo, can you move them to the front of the line? But still, you know.
All the other things?
Mm-hmm. That's just like extra credit.
Okay. You heard it here, folks. If you find somebody in the next like month, I'm going to die.
If I find someone before my fucking birthday, I will die. I'll be like, it was y'all. I owe this to y'all.
Well, stay tuned to see if it worked.
Okay. I was talking to Aisa about the soulmate thing that we had drawn. I was like, you know what? I need to do another one and see if it's the same or if I've like missed that soulmate and on to the next.
Maybe.
So let me know if y'all want us to do that again, because that was fun.
What if I did it?
But
let's see.
It was it'd be hard because they could see, like you could not do it through your email. It would have to be like a bogus email.
Yeah, that'd be easy. Just
create, you know what I mean? Because like if they saw you, they could go on your Facebook and it's like, I love Colby.
My Facebook does not say that.
Hey, y'all. I'm in a happy relationship. I'm married.
Jealous and bitter party of one.
In a table, not a booth, please.
And not a high top table. You know, the short legs. All right. Wow. Tall torso. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to, I say this on the main one, not this one. If you want your story, because I was going to say like, subscribe, review, do all those things. But if you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks.com. And remember,
creep it real and don't get scared.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.